Welcome tonight to our evening service here in Toronto. We're happy that you're here in person and online tonight. One of the great hymns of the faith is Forever with the Lord. We're going to sing that in a moment. You know, when you consider the truth that is contained in this great hymn, it is something that every believer can rest in. Because, you know, in the trials and the issues of life, things come and things go. Health comes, health goes. But the great abiding truth for us in Christ is that we are seated in heavenly places in the Lord Jesus. And that is a standing that we have, well, sitting, we could say, in heaven. But you know, it's something that we don't participate in now. And yet, in the eyes of the Lord, it is a settled fact. We're already glorified with Him, though we are on earth's journey. And so when we think about this great truth, forever with the Lord, let these words comfort your heart, and let us sing them with our praise to the Lord tonight. Let's come to the Lord now in prayer. Father, we rejoice tonight that again we are able to be found in the house of God with those of like precious faith around the Scriptures. Lord, we have been able to sing this hymn of great triumph and truth that we will be one day forever with the Lord. Father, I pray that during this life journey, while we face the challenges, the difficulties, the upsets of life, we'll not allow these things to rob us of the joy and peace that has been provided for us in all of the victory and glory of our Redeemer. We pray, Father, tonight that we will, with open heart, worship our God, and that we will not be held back by anything within us. We pray that the old man will be dying daily. We will die daily unto ourselves, that we might live unto righteousness and to the end, everlasting life. Give us, we pray, the grace that is necessary to survive, to carry on, to press forward, to realize, as Paul said, that the grace of Christ was sufficient. Lord, as you revealed that to him, he was able to say that when I am weak, then am I strong. Father, help us, we pray, to enter in to that truth and to receive it to our hearts. Remember the many in our fellowship, Lord, who are not well, who need a physical touch upon their bodies, who need spiritual help. Lord, come and give that healing balm, that encouragement to every soul. Lord, remember the needs that we have in our nation. We pray again for our leaders. We ask, O God, that humbly we have mercy upon them and save their souls and give them insight and direction. We pray, Father, that they will be restrained from their evil intention, if that is the case, and they'll be blessed in that which is right and good. Lord, for the sake of your church and your people, bless us in our country, our nation. We pray for our missionaries that are serving in places near and far. We ask again, Lord, tonight, for those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, to remember them that are in bonds is bound with them. Lord, we pray that there would be open doors of service for us, that new doors would be provided. We know that the apostle spoke of a great door and an effectual one was opened unto him, but many adversaries. Lord, whatever is the case for us, we want to be found faithful. We want to be used in your kingdom. And so, Lord, open those opportunities for us and make use of us, Lord, we pray. Father, we know that some here with heavy hearts because of the trials that are upon them, and we pray that they will see very clearly the next step to take. Maybe not the third or fourth step. Lord, reveal clearly the next step. Give much help and much grace. Be with us tonight, our evening service, in every part of our meeting. And Lord, as we look into the Scriptures a little later, the life of your faithful servant, we pray that we will receive blessing upon blessing. Lord, hear us now tonight. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 177, before the throne of God above. Let's stand as we worship God. Please turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First Corinthians chapter 15, the tremendous resurrection chapter. We're going to read from verse 53 to the end of this word. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God bless His own precious word to our hearts tonight as we have read. Very glad that you're here in the house of the Lord tonight. You're very welcome. And we ask you to remember all those in our congregation that have needs. We don't want to forget to pray for each other as the Lord commands us to so fulfill the law of Christ. And all of the folks who are viewing online tonight, you're also very, very welcome. We're happy that you're here with us. Please remember the sick ones we've been thinking about in our church. We pray for Henry Lee tonight and for our sister Kathy. Remember Lou and Lydia Siu. Keep them before the Lord, please, in your prayers. And also mention our sister Wendy from Fredericton. She's asked prayer for her sister that is not at all well at this time. So please think about these things and hold them up to the Lord. We were thankful again last night for another of the Connect Fellowship groups we were able to have. Thank you all for your prayers. For those of you who were attending, and I would encourage others to join in if you are willing to do that, you're most welcome. We encourage you to keep these meetings before the Lord. Don't forget also to be praying for the Behind the Wall kids meeting. Next Lord's Day again, we hope to have the next installment of that for our boys and our girls. Some time ago, a few weeks, Wednesdays ago, we showed you the deputation video for the Christian school work in Uganda, the foster family there. And I'm very encouraged to say that we raised $5,000 for that ministry, and appreciate all those who gave faithfully to that, and that those funds will be sent over to the Mission Board in Northern Ireland to be then directed to the work in Uganda. So thank you again for your faithfulness. Do you remember the Wednesday night Bible study and prayer time at 7:30 on Zoom? And I could also ask you to remember on Tuesday our ongoing ministers' prayer time. We meet at 1 o'clock with ministers near and far, and bring you greetings from Brother Schultz in Czech Republic. We are on with him every Tuesday, and also Brother Richard Craig from our work in Jamaica. So those are some things to remember, as well as other of our local ministers. Remember them all, please, before God. Those are all the ministry announcements we have for you tonight. We're going to sing number 624, My Hope is in Thee. Remain seated while we praise God. Let me remind you tonight of our Let the Bible Speak magazine. The most recent one is here, and you'll find some encouraging articles in there to read. You can pick up one as you leave tonight. Turn with me now again, please, to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 13. Book of 2 Kings, chapter 13, reading from 14 to 21. Now Elisha was fallen sick of the sickness whereof he died. Joash the king wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, Open the window eastward. And he opened it. And Elisha said, Shoot, and he shot. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek, till thou hast consumed them. And he said, Take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, Smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. The man of God was wroth with him and said, Thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. And Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men. And they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. Let's ask the Lord to bless us tonight, give us help and understanding in His Word. Father, take now this Word and open our minds to it. Help us to understand, and we pray, Lord, the application of this Word to our hearts. Lord, we're so thankful for the record of the life of this man of God, the lives of saints that have gone before us. And Lord, in many ways, we're not even worthy to tie their shoes. They have been given for us for help and instruction. And I pray that we will be able to take the application from their lives. And tonight, Lord, You would speak to every heart. We think of those who are still unsaved. Lord, bring them the Savior tonight. Bless every believer. Hear my prayer, Lord, tonight, and give strength and help and the unction that is so necessary to faithfully handle the Word of God. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The deathbed of Elisha had turned into one actually of hope and victory for Joash, the king of Israel. The simple act of his shooting the arrow through the window eastward was an indication, clearly, of the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. We noticed last Lord's Day evening that this action was something of God's grace and evidence of it toward Israel, in that He was going to help them. But you know, the reality was that they did not deserve help, neither the nation because they had followed Baal, nor Joash because he had followed Jeroboam. And he had gone after the ways of Baal himself. But God was gracious to them, even as He has been very gracious to us. And we think back of the time before we were saved. Did we, any one of us, deserve something of the Lord's mercy? No, we did not. But God came to us. He was gracious to us. He was compassionate. And today we are seated, clothed in our right minds, spiritually speaking. And these things are tremendous blessings to us. And also we look into our lives practically, and we can say that every practical advancement, every spiritual victory has been by the grace of God to us. We have seen the arrow of the Lord's deliverance in our own lives. But as faithful as Elisha had been, he, like all men, must come to the day when he would lay his head down in the grave. Elisha had served as a prophet in Israel for over 60 years. And as we have looked at his prophetic ministry, we've come now down to the final message in this series. And as we have sought to find from the Lord application from His Word to our hearts, there is yet one final situation tonight. And I pray that God will use it in our lives. Elisha is one of the greatest prophets that is recorded for us in the Word. And yet, now, his human voice, long silent. The hands of a mighty prophet, they were still. They were not animated any longer in the service of the Master. The service of Christ that he was once engaged in, well, they were now cold, still. He was a man who started well, but much better than that. He was a man who finished well. He finished his course with joy. As in the case of many Old Testament servants, there were elements in their lives that were very bright for God. And in Elisha's case, he certainly was one that the Son of God and the attributes of the Lord were reflected in his life. And Elisha certainly comes to us as a type of the Lord Jesus, because he had the fullness of God's Spirit. That prayer for a double portion was most definitely answered in his life. A double portion of the Spirit, and our Savior was given the Spirit without quantity, without limitation. He was a man, Elisha, who revealed the sin of the nation. And Christ came to proclaim, yes, the sins of the world, but also as being Himself the Savior of the world. And in the miracle-working power of Elisha, while we know that the Savior did so much more, John tells us of our Lord that if it were possible to write and record all that our Lord Jesus did, it would not be enough of the books of the world to be able to fill and tell all of these things. With what appeared to be something accidental, a dead man was hastily tossed into a tomb, and comes out alive. We don't know this guy's name. We don't know much of the detail around his death, really anything. And apart from the fact that, well, it's recorded here that when he touched the bones of Elisha, he came back to life again. What does all this mean to us? As we think about Elisha being a type of Christ and of what happened in this situation, I believe there are some valuable lessons for us here. And I pray that God will show us and He will reveal His mind to us, that we will learn more of what it is to trust in the Lord and to see our lives reflected in the life of Christ. Elisha, most definitely, as a type of our Savior. He comes to us in the first place tonight, and we are confronted with this great truth that the God of Elisha still was alive. With the death of this long-serving and faithful man of God, there would have been sorrow among the godly people in Israel in his day. Sorrow for a number of reasons. Sorrow, of course, because they had to say farewell to a mighty man of God, a person whom they had witnessed did mighty acts before the Lord. But think about it in this way. He was a vanguard for truth. He was a one who was a pillar for righteous thinking and leading and truth, an example among all the people. And so when such a pillar of the church is taken away, there is understandably sorrow among God's people. And Elisha was a man who truly would have been missed. For he is in his day, he stood against apostasy. He stood against compromise and sin. He was able with boldness to face kings and queens and whoever else, because he feared not the face of man. He stood as a man who had witnessed the face of God by faith. And he was strong in his own conviction and strong for truth. And so when a man like this departs the scene of time, there was understandably great sorrow. But now he's dead. Was there a sense among the people that their hope of protection from the enemies of God and deliverance from the multiple enemies that came against them would now be over? Were they about to suffer great intrusions by the enemy? Now, don't forget, Israel didn't deserve much of anything, but when you have the righteous in the place of presenting the truth, there is a resistance to the evil. And indeed, that's been held true for us in many situations in the Scripture. Sodom could not have been destroyed until Lot was removed, because he was God's servant. And my dear friends, when we are confronted with these situations, there is understandably a sense that we have lost something when a mighty man or woman of God has been taken. In a very real sense, the enemies had come in very quickly at that time period. Because we read about the Moabites who were making advances into the border towns. And so as they would go in and plunder the towns, they would take away captives. They were making a nuisance of themselves an afflicting injury. The very situation of the panic-stricken friends of this particular unnamed man who had died, and we don't know how he died, but they saw a band of Moabites. And they knew that these people were coming to annihilate them if they saw them in their way. And so they took their friend and they quickly dumped him down or put him down somehow into a tomb. Did they know it was Elisha's tomb? We don't know. But however that took place, it does not appear that they were aware of anything but the urgency of the matter. And so as soon as the body of this man touched the bones of Elisha, he immediately revived. And I don't know who would have been more shocked, the guy who awoke from the dead or his friends that dropped him down in there. And he soon got out of that tomb and was likely running after them. With the death of Elisha, some of the faithful in the land may have wondered, was God finished with them? But the message that rang out from this very unusual situation, the message that was being sent forth to that band of men and to the one man who is now raised to life again, is a living testimony of what just happened to him. And do you not think he'd be going back to everyone in his family, his city, his community, and telling, do you know what happened to me? And the witnesses who were there with him, do you know what happened to this man? And that would echo forth to the whole of Israel. Yes, Elisha is dead, but the God of Elisha is still very much alive. The news, such an event spread far and wide, that He is the God of Israel, the God of eternity, the one who has neither beginning nor ending. And He is the only hope for God's people. And though they were appreciative and respectful of the prophet, any man of faith, any woman of faith would know this was not Elisha's doing. This was a dead man. His remains had been in the grave for whatever period of time that his bones are now there. But you think of the victories that Elisha was able to accomplish under God in his lifetime. Those victories were not Elisha's doing. They were the doing of the living God, the God in whom Elisha trusted. And friends, the evidence and the miracle that was done that day gives us the ongoing lesson that God may bury His servants, but His work continues on because the God of Elijah is alive today. And He lives on. And as Elisha is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives today in the power of an endless life, our hope for eternity abides in the risen Christ. Can we rejoice in that tonight? Are we thankful to the Lord? This is a rare account. In fact, there's no other account like this in all the Bible, where a man touches the bones of a dead prophet or anything even like this. But the teaching is that God, He is the God of the impossible. And He who created all things out of nothing was able to do this by a dead man touching another dead man. And the man comes to life again. Because the God whom we worship and serve tonight is not limited by our own feeble understanding. He's not limited by human powers. We know that. But believer, do we really know that? Are we trusting in that tonight? Do you realize that God is alive in the small details of your life? That He is the one who is watching over you, who is mapping out your course, who is going in front of you. And the Christ, who is our Redeemer, is the author and the finisher of our faith. And oh, we trust in Him tonight. And Elisha, given to us as this great type of our Redeemer, our Lord Jesus Christ, He is the one who has given to us not just physical life, but He has given to us everlasting life. And through the work that He did on Calvary's cross, and our Savior said to the Sadducees who denied the resurrection from the dead, He said that God is not the God of the dead, but He is the God of the living. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And of course, He said that to the Sadducees because they denied the resurrection. And here in this particular case, you and I, and the hope that we have today is the hope in this, that the God with whom we worship is the living and the true God. And in the prevailing gloom of the times, believer tonight, let your heart feast upon this great and wonderful truth. Yes, Elisha's may have gone. Faithful prophets of God and servants of the Lord who have lived and who have done great things for God, and those whom we look back with respect to. Yet today, our hope is not in servants that have gone before, but our hope continues to be in the living God. It's no coincidence, you know, that immediately after this account of the man coming back to life, that we have in the remaining verses of chapter 13 that Joash, the king of Israel, went out to defeat Syria because Hazael had come against him during the days of his father. And the prophet said that as you have shot three times with those arrows, you will defeat three times. And that's exactly what Joash was enabled to do. You know, we are in days when the faith of more than a few seem to be growing dim. We're hearing of the fall of prominent Christian leaders who fall into sin, or the outright rejection of Christianity by those who have written books about the Lord. They have preached about Christ. And yet today they have acknowledged, I've lost my faith. I no longer believe in the Lord. Stephen Lee wrote an interesting thing in the sermon audio page today, speaking about that very subject of apostasy. And he cited three different people today who have recently denied that they believe in God anymore. Oh, my friend, we're living in trying and difficult days. It's discouraging. But let us not look to men. Let us not look even to those that have been faithful to the Lord who have died. But rather let us always be encouraged to rest in this great fact that our God is the God of Elisha. He is the God who is alive today, and He's still living. I want you to notice, secondly, the ongoing impact of Elisha's life. The ongoing impact of Elisha's life. We can see that in this illustration in a way that is very unusual for the man to be raised back to life again. But friends, in a very positive way, Elisha's prophecy and testimony and his life in Israel, it reverberated to the sons of the prophets that were in his day and that came after him. It reverberated to those who were coming in next generations who would be able to look back and hear the accounts of a man like Elisha. But God has cemented this for us in our day because He's recorded it in His Word. and what the Lord has given to us to be instruction for us as believers. It's part of the legacy, the impact of men of God, of women of God, who have been in bygone generations. We mentioned this morning Amy Carmichael, a missionary in India, faithful woman of God, went through a very hard providence, and yet how God used that in her life and used it to the benefit of others who were following after. The ongoing impact of Elisha's life, it lives on for us now today. And we can be thankful to God for that. But as we consider this prophet as a type of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is the greater picture and impact that we want to think about. And as being a type of our Lord, the impact of the death of Christ, it lasted, my friend, long after His suffering on the cross of Calvary. There He went willingly to the cross. There He submitted Himself to the will of His Father. There, as a faithful prophet, He communicated the message of God to a lost and a dying world. And as He communicated the message of God as the great prophet, He was as Moses, Deuteronomy 18. Moses said, "There shall come a prophet like unto me, whom the Lord will raise up." And indeed the Lord Jesus is our great prophet. And He spoke to you, my friend, the message of God's Word. And He has spoken to you, and He has written that in His own blood. And as Christ has communicated that love letter through His own blood to you and me tonight, do you not see through the life of Elisha and how this man touched the bones of this man of God? That those who have come in contact with our Redeemer and in contact with Him personally have been given life and life forevermore. The impact of Christ's death on the world will not be known until eternity. Yes, we mark our earthly calendar by the birth of Jesus. We're living in the year 2021 AD, Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. And we mark our earthly timetable by the birth of Christ. But I want to tell you that by the death of Jesus, we will mark our eternal calendar, because it is through His death that you and I have life. And it's through us coming into contact with the impact of the death of Jesus that we live today. Hebrews tells us, through death, He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Oh, what glorious victory our Savior gave to us. Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. And you know the first messianic prophecy in Genesis 3:15, that God said that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the seed of the serpent. And the seed of the serpent has been working tirelessly from that time in the Garden of Eden until the very end to destroy the seed royal. Oh yes, the seed of Satan tried to destroy Christ before He ever got to the cross of Calvary. And he bruised the heel of Jesus on the cross. But our Lord Jesus gave a fatal blow to the head of Satan when He died on the cross. And we can say, as we've read here in 1 Corinthians 15 tonight, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" For the impact of the death of Christ has had a greater impact upon this world and the very evidence of you here tonight, saved by His grace, your sin placed upon Jesus, and He swallowed up death for you and me tonight. And we are alive because of our connection and the impact of the death of Christ. And we notice also that those who touched His death were given life. Do you remember the day, believer, when you called upon the Savior? Do you remember what happened in your own mind when you came face to face with this reality of your own sin? And if you had been judged for your sin, you would have been cast away from God into hell. And yet to realize that Christ Jesus tasted death for you. And in that tasting of death for you, you indeed touched the death of Jesus. And in touching the death of Christ, you were given life. As that dead man touched the bones of Elisha, so we have touched the death of Christ. And tonight we have life, and we have it more abundantly. How much more can we say tonight that we have faith, the gift of faith, and forgiveness of our sins and life eternal? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3 tells us, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Oh, believer, rejoice tonight in all that means to you. Think of it again. Never let a day pass that you don't allow to get into your heart and mind, "I am alive today because I have touched the death of Jesus by faith. And I have died in Him." When He died, we died. And because He lives today, we live in Him and through our Lord. My friends, tonight, it was true as a picture in the life of Elisha, and the impact of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ and the relationship that has to us. But we also see the picture of this, it's true in the servants of Christ. For we have been brought into union with Him. And as He died, we died. As He rose, we have risen in Him. If He then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. And when we think of our association, our union with Him, Elisha, being dead, yet speaks. And that verse taken from Hebrews 11, referring to Abel, is true of every faithful servant of God. But more so as we're thinking about this man and how he is a real type of our Savior. And so he was touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He felt all the temptation that you and I have known. And when He went to the cross, He took all of our sins with Him there. Alexander Stewart, in his commentary on this, said this: "The influence of Christian character and Christian teaching and Christian effort is in reality never dies. Its effects may not be always visible, but they are not therefore lost. It is gone to swell the great force of righteousness which is working in the world for God." It's speaking there about testimony. How many times have God's people Have you been misjudged, misunderstood? Something comes to light which reveals the rest of the story. And friend, that may not happen until after you have gone, after you have died. Our brother Daniel was speaking last evening about the life of Samson. And Samson is one of those figures that we would have to look at in the Bible and say, he's an enigma. It's hard to figure him out. Because I feel that we don't have all the information of the life of Samson. For when you look at it on the surface of what is recorded for us in the Old Testament, and then you realize in the book of Hebrews 11 that he's called there a man of faith, and that we are to follow his example of faith, something seems to be missing. And it's not until we get to heaven that we're going to know the whole picture of the life of Samson. And I think that's the way it is sometimes with many people of God. Maybe even in your case, friend, someone you know recently. They may have passed away. A loved one, a brother or sister. Maybe someone who you think did you wrong in your life. But the whole picture, the whole story has not been told yet. And when we fill in those unknown things, when we get to glory, we're going to realize, oh, that's what really happened. Oh, that's why this situation took place. And here all along, I've been misjudging that person. Here all along, I thought I had the whole story, but I really didn't. I'm sure it was true for Elisha. As people who interacted with him may not have understood why he did what he did. They may not have understood why God directed him the way he did. Was that not certainly true of the Lord Jesus? As he walked his life, misunderstood, judged incorrectly by many people. And yet when Jesus appeared to Saul of Tarsus, he was the risen Christ of God. And whatever misconception that Saul of Tarsus had about Jesus Christ, they were corrected in a moment when he saw him. And for us, let us not fret, my friends. For as we are in union with our Savior, we have not to fear the face of men. And we might accept the fact we're going to be misunderstood. And sometimes, well, people are just going to think bad things about us because they don't have the full picture. They don't know what has motivated your heart. They don't know how God has directed you to do what you have done. And I believe that after we go from this scene of time, maybe there will be something that comes to light. Maybe it's a diary entry. Maybe it will be an unrevealed letter. Maybe a hidden document that comes to light. Somehow, somewhere, someone may yet understand things that have occurred, things that have happened. And so, as we are united with our Lord Jesus, and we are with Him in union, let us realize that these things that may take place in our life, let us not fret about them. What do we draw in conclusion of all this tonight? My friends, let us be encouraged to keep going. Let's be encouraged to press on. And to keep going in the purpose that we have to intentionally live for God and for His kingdom. To intentionally and on purpose serve Him. Because even by our unconscious moments and our unconscious deeds of kindness and giving those cups of cold water or covering someone who has a need, or giving to someone who might be hungry. You know, Matthew 25, the Lord said, when you have done this unto me, unto one of the least of my servants, you have done it unto me. Mother, Father, you prayed a long time for your children. But still, they're not saved. And it would not be the first time that parents have gone to their grave, children still not saved that they saw. And yet what a reunion in heaven it will be when that loved one who had been long prayed for will be brought into glory, and there will be a reuniting at that day. Live your life faithfully, mother, father, grandparent. Never, never compromise your stand for the Lord for the sake of trying to accommodate or hopefully win over. Live your life for Christ, and that day will come when your legacy, your testimony that lives long after you, just as Elisha's did, it will bear the testimony, a silent witness, but that voice will speak. Such was the case of this man of God. And such is revealed for us in the triumphant death of our Lord Jesus, because He lives today. And He lives for us, and because He lives, we are alive. And we will live forever. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn to the setting sun. Let us talk of all His wondrous love and care. And then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done and the roll is called up yonder, we will be there. Friend, do you know Him tonight? Are you sure that Christ is your Savior? Young person, don't put off. Listening online tonight, don't delay. Come to Christ. Give your heart to Him. Because then you will know you are linked to the Savior. You will know the blessing and the encouragement of living for Him. Believer, do not be discouraged. Keep your eyes by faith upon the One who is alive forevermore. And this life's journey will be one that is filled with joy in the midst of disappointment, happiness in the midst of sorrow, peace in the center of turmoil. Yes, we serve today a risen Savior. I know that He is alive because I know He lives within my heart. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Dear God, I pray tonight that You would take the Word of God and write its truth and all its applications, Father, upon each of our hearts. And voices of men are silent. Let the voice of the Spirit of God speak on. Lord, we pray that as we face a new week tomorrow and all the uncertainties, we'll be given much grace and strength to keep going, to press on, not to surrender, to give in, to capitulate. Lord, make us strong in the Savior and in the power of His might. Make use of us, we pray, Father, for we are co-laborers with Thee, our Father. So part us in Your fear with Your blessing, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.